My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The following is a high-five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at highfivecasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we are talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in this entire decentralized revolution that's happening right before our very eyes. You know, sometimes when you're living through it, you don't notice the change that's happening, but it's big. What's going on is going to change the course of humanity. It's going to change the course of the world. And it's difficult. It's difficult to understand. I've been studying it for over 7 years, and I'm still trying to figure out what the heck is going on here because it's just evolving so fast. And that's why it's important that you tune in with me each and every week so I can keep you up to date. You know, each and every week, I try to give you some education. You know, I've been studying this for over 7 years. You really have to understand 6-7 different disciplines to kind of get a grasp of this. And so each week I'll bring you these educational pieces that you can continue to build on and continue to understand this better. I bring you the latest and breaking news every week so you know exactly what is going on, what's happening. And then you can sound really smart when you go talk to your friends because you'll be up to date on everything. And then I try to bring you some of the best and brightest people in the industry, some of my good friends, to kind of give some different perspectives. And so, you know, you don't just hear from me, but you hear from other people. So if you haven't already, because I tell you each and every week, pull out your phone, put a calendar reminder on there to join me on this channel at this time each and every week while I make it the most profitable part of your week. Now, what I want to do today is I actually want to jump into the third and final installment that I've been doing, which I've been breaking the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt headlines. A couple weeks ago, I ran a poll, or I guess it wasn't a poll, it was just an ask on Twitter to find out what are the top objections that people have as to why Bitcoin won't work, will never work, why it's, you know, dumb, stupid, whatever. And I got, about 20 different answers that I kind of lumped together and kind of grouped. So it's about 20 things that are kind of like the most common. And so I've been breaking those down each week. I've gotten through all of them except for these last couple. We're going to get through them today. So I guess this is kind of a three-part series. And if you've missed the first two, then you can go catch those back on the iHeartRadio podcast network. You can just search Mark Moss podcast and you'll find it over there. So if you want to know, we covered why if people say Bitcoin is not backed by anything, it's backed by nothing. There's no intrinsic value. There's no way to value it. There's environmental concerns. It's a waste of electricity. People want to wait for the dip. People think that Bitcoin is only for black market criminal activity. It's too volatile and risky. People feel like they've already missed the boat. They think it's too expensive and they want to know about other coins. They think it could be hacked. It could be manipulated. The big one is that the government won't allow it to succeed. So the first ones I just read, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week we covered government won't allow it to succeed. There's going to be regulations coming. The rules could be changed, like change how many coins there are, something like that. That it was started by the CIA and there's like some sort of backdoor. That it's older technology and there's newer technology around. That inflation is needed for economic growth and that's why a fixed supply would never work. And then if we did have fixed supply, that people would just hoard it. They'd hoard a deflationary currency and there would be no economic growth. So that was all last week. So that's all the things we've covered in the last 2 weeks, and we're going to break down the rest of them today, and we're going to put this whole section to bed. I got a lot more topics to get back to you on. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show, which of course we're talking about Bitcoin and this decentralized revolution that's happening. It's really big. it's really, really big. It's a technological revolution that will change the way the world works. And so because it's so big and it's so new, it's hard to understand and a lot of people dismiss it. And so let's break that down. So let's move on to the last couple that I have here. And we have, let's see here. There's nothing tangible to touch, right? It's a digital asset. Right? There's nothing tangible. I only want things that I can hold in my hand, like gold. Gold's great because I can hold gold in my hand. And so because of that, I can't trust it. I don't believe it has any value. And what I would say to that is a couple things. So first off, I'm sorry if you're older, but maybe that's like a boomer comment. I mean, I'm kind of getting up there in age as well, but you know, maybe that's a boomer comment. If you don't believe in something digital, because everything's digital these days, would you say that you don't believe in your music because music's digital now? Like we used to have a vinyl record. Well, before that we used to have a orchestra. If you wanted to hear Beethoven's symphony, you'd have to get an entire orchestra to come over to your house or set them up and play it. And then eventually it was on a record. And I guess that record was still, I guess it was still tangible. You could hold it in your hand, and then it was a cassette and then a CD. But today, I stream it over my phone, and so it's digital. And so if you don't trust digital assets, I don't even know what that means. And as a matter of fact, almost 90% of all payment transactions today are done digital. Now, for myself, you know, I rarely carry around cash anymore, right? I'm just swiping my debit card or my credit card everywhere I go kind of a thing. And so You're already living in a digital money world. And so for people to think that there's nothing tangible to touch, it just seems really strange to me. And again, like I think it's probably a boomer comment. I'm old enough to have lived without a lot of this technology, but I'm still young enough to kind of grasp most of it. So I kind of am on this like straddle situation. But that's what I just say. I mean, 90% of transactions are already digital. We live in a world where most of our assets are digital today. I just had to do some DocuSign documents this morning, and that was my digital signature. And so everything's digital these days. And so I think one thing about that I would say is that this is not one that I have on the list, but when we talk about like central bank digital currencies, you've probably heard about that by now. They're, you know, called CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. And so we know China has already kind of rolled out their central bank digital currency. They've been testing it for over a year. Their plan is to have a full-scale release for the Winter Olympics that's coming up there. But most of the other countries are also working on it. We know the United States, the Federal Reserve, is also working on a central bank digital currency. And what I think, a lot of people ask me about that, It's not on my list, but we'll talk about that for a second because I think it plays into this exact piece of FUD that I'm talking about. And a lot of people wonder, like, what's going to happen with a central bank digital currency, and will that take away the need for cryptocurrencies? Actually, a lot of regulators actually think that. I was actually reading today, and we'll get to this story a little bit later, but Russia is trying to ban cryptocurrencies, trying to kind of follow what China's doing. But what they said in when I was reading through what they were talking about, they said that they think that if they could hurry up and rush out the ruble, the digital ruble, that people wouldn't need cryptocurrencies, because what people really want is a way to transact digital assets. And if they can give them a digital ruble, then they wouldn't need cryptocurrencies. And I think that's just ridiculous. As I said, 90% of transactions are digital anyway. And so what I think central bank digital currencies, if the Federal Reserve said, hey, you want new STEMI, you want your $1,400 of STEMI, download this app and we'll put it in there, a lot of people will. Including myself. I'll take $1,400 of free money if they want to give it to me. And so I would download the app, I would use it, and then everybody will be using that stimulus that would be given to them via this digital asset, this central bank digital currency. And then all of a sudden, they would be kind of forced to use it, and they'd go, well, actually, this isn't any different than using Venmo or PayPal. This is actually kind of the same thing, and I guess I can use digital payments, and I guess it is kind of convenient, and it works kind of good, and I guess I can trust it. And so it would kind of force people to shift their viewpoint on cryptocurrency because they'd be incentivized to use it by getting that free money. And then what would happen is they would be looking at those central bank digital currencies in their wallet and go, how come all the prices get more and more expensive? Like, why does it take more of my central bank digital currency, more of my digital dollars to buy my regular, you know, lunch at my lunch spot or gas in my car? But Bitcoin over here, it's taking less and less Bitcoin to buy gas for my car or lunch. Like, what is going on? Well, maybe I should put my central bank digital currency into Bitcoin. And so I think that it will really help this whole nothing tangible to touch, don't trust digital assets. It'll force people to do it. It's kind of like this Trojan horse or this gateway drug, if you will. I got more coming up. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're specifically talking about the big objections against Bitcoin. I got a bunch more, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show while we are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies, and we're talking about the decentralized revolution that's happening. Of course, we're doing this each and every week. And I've spent this is the third week now. I've been breaking down the biggest FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt headlines against Bitcoin specifically, and also some of them apply just to cryptocurrencies more in general. And we've covered a bunch. I just talked about before the break how people say that there's nothing tangible to touch. You know, you can't trust these digital assets, and I went into that. Another one that I got in this when I asked the people on Twitter what were some of the biggest ones they hear, and they'd say that Bitcoin has an unequal distribution. All right, and so I think that's a big one. I think the world is caught up in this whole fair equality situation today. And so that makes sense. I mean, you know, I want everyone to do good, and you know, I try to help as many people as I can, and you know, help out the less fortunate, and that's all great. And we should all want to do that. But when you think about equality, I think there's a difference in equality and a difference in fairness. And so what do I mean by that is that the game of basketball is fair, right? There's a set of rules for basketball, and everybody has to apply to those rules. It's fair, but it's not equal. So LeBron James is way better than me. I'll never be as good as LeBron James. Now, if they wanted equality in basketball, they would allow me to shoot from right under the basket, or actually probably lower the basket for me when I was shooting. And then for him, he'd have to shoot further away, and they'd raise the basket or you know, something like that for him. Or he would have to play on one foot and with one arm, and I could play with both feet and both arms or something like that. And that would give us equality on the basketball court, but it wouldn't be fair, right? And you see how that's different. And so when we look at people say that Bitcoin isn't equal, it's unequal distribution. Well, I mean, that's just life. I mean, LeBron got an unequal distribution in skills for basketball, and I didn't. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's funny, as a parent, and previously being a kid, I remember all the time when I was a kid telling my dad, "It's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair." And my dad would go, "Mark, life isn't fair." And now as a parent, I hear the same thing from my kids. It's not fair. It's not fair. I say the same thing my dad did. Like, life isn't fair. But, you know, we want fairness. I think we should have fairness, but equality is just something we can't have. Now, the part of the thing about being unequal, like in basketball, is that my inequality could be my advantage. So, for example, a basketball player may be bigger, but I might be faster. Right, so I could use my fastness as my advantage while he's trying to use size as his advantage. And so that unequal distribution is what allows for this dynamic range, and that's why basketball games are fun and exciting. If we just had a whole bunch of LeBron James, it probably wouldn't be near as fun as a little, you know, I'm not a big basketball fan, so forgive me, but like a little Steve Nash that was out there, like, you know, that was really quick, something like that. But back to Bitcoin. By the way, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin. But back to Bitcoin and this unequal distribution. Bitcoin is open. It's borderless. It's permissionless. Anybody in the world has the exact same opportunity, the same fairness. Anybody can go buy a computer, hook it to the network, and mine Bitcoin. Or anybody could take whatever currency they have, and they could buy Bitcoin. Nobody's excluded. It's 100% fair. Anybody could come and get it. That's what's fair. Now, they would say, well, some people are poor and some people are rich, and so the rich people can buy more than the poor people. Well, that's true, but those rich people can buy more of anything. And that's a different situation. That's more of an income inequality thing. That's more based off the fiat money system that we have today. But Bitcoin is fair. Anybody can go get it today. And then they would say, well, if all these rich people go buy up all the Bitcoin and the poor people can't get it, and then the rich people just want to hoard it, they don't want to sell it, how would the poor people ever get it? And I would say, well, they would get it the same way that they would get anything else. They would get it by providing them a valuable good or service in exchange for it. So if I were to go provide them something of value that they really wanted, they would be compelled to give up some of that Bitcoin. And so it is, you know, there is inequality, I suppose, but it is fair. And I think that is the big difference. I think if you look at basketball, right, it's a fair game. And I think that's why people look at it. All right. Oh, I love this one. This is a good one. Actually, I'm gonna save this one. Let's go to, you can't know that it won't get hacked. So that's a big thing. Bitcoin gets hacked, right? I could lose it. How do I protect it? How do I not get it stolen? Or how do I know that the whole network won't get hacked and I won't lose everything? So that's a good one. So let's talk about that. So first of all, as I said, Bitcoin is difficult to understand because it's a lot of things. And you really have to know at least 6 or 8 different disciplines in order to really understand what Bitcoin is. Part of the reason why is as human beings, we are not good at imagining the future. All we can do is imagine better versions of what we have today. So we have cars, we'll have flying cars or something like that, right? And so what we try to do when we have something new, some new technology, we try to put it in relation to something that we know and understand. For example, hypothetically, I wasn't alive at the time, but let's say that when electricity first came out, what is this? Like, what is this electricity? What's it going to do? What can it do for us? And someone might say, well, you know, at the time it was a light bulb, right? So it's like, well, it's kind of like a digital candle. Oh, okay. So electricity, I get it. Oh, I understand electricity. Electricity is a digital candle. And someone might go, well, why do we need a digital candle? The candle's been light for 5,000 years, kind of a thing like that. But of course, electricity became so much more than that. Bitcoin is a lot of things, and it's going to be a lot of things. But one thing we know for certain today is it's the most secure computer network in the history of the world. And not just because it's the most secure network, but because of the design of it, because of the new technology that it is. And so for to kind of illustrate this, all computer networks or databases today are centralized. So the Facebook database that stores your username and password and all your images and mine and all that, or the Experian database that stores all your credit history, or the NSA database where they track everything and they store all your data in there, those are centralized databases. And of course, those companies have buildings, and they have IT departments, and cybersecurity, and they have these walls, and their servers are in there, and they take all this time to secure those databases, those centralized databases. But those centralized databases are big honeypots. What I mean by honeypots is there's a lot of data, and it's a big score if someone could break in and steal that. And of course, people do all the time. So as a matter of fact, you've probably heard a couple years ago, Experian was hacked. It was the largest data breach in I think, U.S. history, and hundreds of millions of people's credit history, social security numbers, et cetera, was leaked onto the dark web. So we see these computer networks get hacked all the time. As a matter of fact, the NSA was hacked. And the NSA is responsible for securing the United States, and their own network was hacked. And when they hacked the NSA, they stole the NSA's hacking software, which is why we have all these ransomware attacks today. Of course, they blame that on Bitcoin, but it's because the NSA was hacked and they stole their hacking software. But the Bitcoin network has never been hacked. And it's never been hacked because of the design. I'm going to explain to you what that design is and why it's revolutionary and why it can't get hacked, or it hasn't been hacked and most likely won't be. I have more FUD headlines coming up. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show talking about Bitcoin. I'm going to bring you more of these headlines, explain to you more about Bitcoin and why the design prevents it from getting hacked so you can understand a little bit better. And like I said, I have a couple more, another really, really big one I want to get into, so don't go away.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As we migrated more of our business to the cloud, we were seeing expenses go up, but we couldn't pinpoint the cause. It seemed less of a cloud, more of a fog. That's why we brought on Cloud Optimizer, and they saved the day.
Are you seeing your cloud hosting bills go up and you're not sure why? It's time to put Cloud Optimizer to work for you. Cloud Optimizer analyzes usage patterns, right-sizes resources, leverages discounts you may not be aware of, implements automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service.
With Cloud Optimizer, we have our spend under control, our company is more agile, profitable, and we're getting peak performance from our cloud.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies and this decentralized revolution that's been happening. And right now, specifically, I'm taking on one piece of FUD, one fear, uncertainty, and doubt, one objection to Bitcoin at a time. We've been covering it for the last couple of weeks. I've gone through about 20 of them. I got 2 more to go. And before the break, I was talking about, you know, Bitcoin is very difficult to understand because it's a new technology, and it is a lot of things. It's going to be a lot of things. But one thing we know for certain that it is that it's the most secure computer network in the history of the world. And I was explaining how computer networks or databases, I should say, they're big honeypots. There's a lot of data there. So it's there's a lot of reward for a hacker to break in and steal the data that's in there, like Experian getting hacked or the NSA getting hacked. But I was saying how that the Bitcoin network has never been hacked. And the reason why it's never been hacked, and most likely never will be, I mean, anything is possible. I don't deal in the world of absolutes. I think of things in terms of probabilities. So, you know, anything is possible. I mean, aliens could come destroy the world tomorrow too. But we have to, we have to think about things in terms of probabilities, but then we think about, like, well, what's the chance? What's the probability that aliens would destroy the world tomorrow? I mean, it's, you know, I guess it's theoretically possible, but it's probably like barely possible, right? And so the same would be with Bitcoin, with the Bitcoin network being hacked. And so let me explain to you the design, and that will help explain a little bit better. So kind of back to this honeypot, right? So, you know, if I could hack into the Experian database and I could steal all the records of every American and all their bank accounts and social security numbers, that's worth a lot of money. And so a lot of hackers are motivated to do that. If I had a bank and the bank had, I don't know, $1 trillion in the bank, that's a lot of money. And a lot of bank robbers might be willing to try to break into that. And as a matter of fact, if I could get $1 trillion out of the bank, I might be willing to spend a few million, a few hundred million to try to hack into that. Because if I spent a few hundred million but got $1 trillion back, that'd be a good return on my investment, on my time. But what if I had $1 trillion banks with $1 each? See? Now, that would not be worth anybody's time to hack into, because it would take all this time, effort, and risk to get $1. And then I'd have to go to 1 trillion different banks and do the exact same thing over and over and over and over. So it makes it very, very difficult. And that's kind of how the Bitcoin database works. So instead of having one, centralized database like Experian has or Facebook has or the NSA has, instead of having one, we have decentralized or distributed databases. So we have millions of databases that are all around the world, and all the databases have the entire same code base. And in order for a transaction to happen, all the databases have to agree at once. And if somebody wanted to try to take that over, they would have to take over more than 50%, a lot more than that, but at least minimum, at least 51% of the network. But how would they do that? They don't know where they are. They don't even know, they don't know where they are. They don't know how to get access to them. And they would have to co-opt all of them at the exact same time, which is theoretically impossible. Now, I say theoretically, I mean, anything is possible, but on the probability scale, there's hardly any chance that could happen. Now, Bitcoin is an open source network. Everybody can see all the code. There's nothing proprietary about it. Facebook is a proprietary database. Experian is a proprietary database. The NSA is a proprietary database, but Bitcoin is open. It's open source. Any computer programmer can look at the code and read the code and build on the code. And we have about $1 trillion sitting on the Bitcoin network open. There's no building. There's no IT department. There's no cybersecurity team protecting it. There's no building. There's no walls. There's nothing. There's nobody. It's just there. It's just open. $1 trillion in the open on an open source network for any hacker to come and get. Come and get it, they say. And guess what? It's never been hacked. Now, I would say that $1 trillion of value they can get from an open source network is probably way more valuable than the credit scores of people from Experian, but it's never been hacked. Now, does it mean it never will be? I mean, like I said, anything's possible, but it most likely won't be. And it's because of the design, the way the technology works. So anyway, that's that. Yeah, you can't. And so you can't know it won't get hacked. Yeah. And so you can't. I mean, anything could happen, but the probability is almost non-existent. All right. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin and this decentralized revolution. I'm breaking down the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt headlines one by one by one. This is the third and final week of getting through about 20 of these. We just covered nothing tangible. Can't touch it. Don't trust digital assets. We covered unequal distribution. We covered what happened, or you can't know that it won't get hacked. And the last one I want to get into is what happens if the power and the internet goes out? That's a good one. I saved the best for last. What happened? Yeah, what does happen? That's a good question. What happens if the power and the internet goes out? So the first thing I would say is let's talk about the power and the internet going out. So the power going out. Like the power going out to like my town, because like here in California, we have rolling blackouts and the power goes out occasionally. Do we mean like the power to a region, the country, or you think like the power would go out for the whole world? And like, then would the power go out for the whole world and then like never come back? Or would it just like go out for like a few minutes? And so you have to kind of think about that a little bit further. So let's talk about each one of those. So if the power were to go out in my city, okay, so what? The databases that I just talked about are decentralized. There's millions of copies of the database all over the world. So if power goes out in my town for a couple hours or a couple days, so what, right? The database is still running in other parts of the world. And so while the power may be out and maybe I couldn't use the Bitcoin network where I'm at because the power is out, well, I also couldn't use my Visa card or my debit card. I couldn't go to the ATM and pull cash out. I could go to a store, but they wouldn't be able to check me out because their cash registers wouldn't be working. And so while if in my town or my city, the power went out, I couldn't use Bitcoin, I couldn't use anything else either. And most likely I couldn't even use cash because, as I said, the stores wouldn't even be able to check me out. The grocery store's food would be going bad and they wouldn't be able to open up the freezers, right? So if the power went out, we have much bigger problems than that. And so, yes, temporarily, maybe, you know, we couldn't use Bitcoin. We couldn't use anything else. But I'm going to actually come back to that. Okay, let's go to a bigger scale. Let's say that the power went out to the country. I mean, same situation, I guess. But I think what people are more afraid of is they say, what if the power went out to the whole world? Okay, so the power goes out to the whole world, same situation as if it did locally. All the databases around the world, all the Bitcoin databases, they all lose power. Okay, Well, everything did, right? The banks all lost power. All the stores lost power. The Visa network lost power. Everything's lost power. We're in some sort of like a Mad Max scenario kind of situation. And money isn't really good in that type of a scenario. At that point, we're trading like water for batteries, right? If you look at when nations break down, like Venezuela, for example, or even in the United States, I don't know how long it was now, maybe a decade ago, I forget, like Hurricane Katrina happened in like New Orleans, and they didn't have any power for, I think, a couple weeks, or in New York, they had like that really bad storm, kind of same thing happened there. And, you know, banks stopped working, ATMs stopped working, and, you know, people start just bartering. They start trading laundry detergent for bread or something like that. And so, you know, in an event where you went without power for an extended period of time, everything goes down, not just Bitcoin, and you go back to a barter system. But I think what some people think about is they think about what happens if the power goes out to the whole world at the same time. Okay, so like I said, the databases go down, but when the power comes back on, the databases are still there. Nothing changed. It's not like they get wiped out magically, so they're still there. But I would also say that the probability of it happening, of going out and never coming back on, is like, I mean, it's pretty much a zero. And I don't give anything a zero probability, but it's pretty much zero because we know how to make electricity today. We know how. Like, I can get a flywheel in my yard and start creating electricity. I have a generator in my garage. I can turn that on. I have a solar panel. I can create electricity. And it's like, we know how to make electricity. Once we've discovered fire, we've discovered fire. Once we have fire, it's never going away. There's more to this. I want to talk about the internet going out as well. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, breaking down Bitcoin FUD. I got a lot more. Don't go away.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You're back with the Mark Moss Show talking about Bitcoin and and the decentralized revolution and cryptocurrencies and all that good stuff. And I've been breaking down methodically one by one by one all the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, all the headlines, all the objections as to why Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies could never work. I've been through 20 of them. I'm kind of on the last one here. And I'm talking about what happens if the power goes out and if the internet goes out. They're kind of two separate things. I'm breaking them down separately. We just covered what happens if the power goes out. I'm not going to recap everything that I've just said, but bringing you up to speed. And so if the power of the whole world went out, like I said, the databases are still intact. The power comes back on. The databases come back on. Nothing else works either. So you're kind of in the same boat. But I think the probability of the whole world losing electricity and never coming back is about zero. And I don't give anything that low of a probability. We probably have a better chance of aliens coming back and destroying the world than we do of never having electricity again. Because once we've discovered fire, we've discovered fire. We know how to make electricity. It's not very hard to do. And we're always going to have electricity. And so I think if anybody's really optimizing for that, like if they wouldn't buy Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies because they're afraid if the power goes out, man, I guess just stack bullets and water and batteries in your garage, and maybe, you know, maybe that. But I think that the chance of us going back to this Mad Max end of world scenario is about zero. Something that is possible is having power go out in a region. You know, people talk about like an EMP attack. Obviously, we're seeing right now today wars being escalated with Russia. You know, tensions are high with China, but specifically with Russia. I mean, President Biden was on the news. Basically, I don't know, the White House is trying to cover up his tracks. They're trying to say that he didn't really mean to say what he actually did say. What I always say is I take these people at their word. When they say things, I tend to believe it. And so he kind of basically said, yeah, you know, Russia could kind of have an incursion onto Ukraine. And if it's not too bad, we probably won't do anything. And so the point is that we have threats of war. And so potentially, you know, we're seeing rhetoric being ramped up about a cyber attack. As a matter of fact, NATO put out some news, and we also saw CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency of the United States, CISA, CISA. They actually put out a notice 2 days ago that said, implement cybersecurity measures now to protect against potential critical threats. And so they put this warning out. Every organization in the United States is at risk from cyber threats, and that can disrupt essential services and potentially result in impacts to public safety. Over the past year, cyber incidents have impacted many companies, nonprofits, and blah, blah, blah. And so they're kind of warning about these types of cyber attacks or maybe some sort of EMP attack. But again, if it takes out a region, it doesn't matter. Bitcoin will continue working. But then the internet going out. So a lot of people think the internet will go out. What happens if the internet goes out? Well, kind of the same. Your Visa and debit card don't work. Same. The ATM probably won't work either. And again, like, does the internet go out like locally? So like, for example, when China was taking over Hong Kong at the end of 2019, and all the people were there pushing back, we saw that China or in Hong Kong, the internet and the cell phones were cut off. And so in that region, they cut off the internet. And so, yeah, sure. You know, that impacted it, but again, it impacted everything. But again, do you think this is a global thing? Like the internet goes out for the whole world? In order to take the internet out for the whole world, they'd literally have to go dig up the lines. They'd have to go pull the fiber optics out of the lines and stuff like that. The internet is a stack. And so, you know, at the top level, we have the internet service providers, the ISPs. And so those can ban you, right? So they can ban you. So like, for example, in China, they have the Great Firewall of China. And, you know, they don't allow Google and Facebook and Netflix and those types of internet sites under the Great Firewall of China. But people get around it. They use a VPN, you know, and they can route around the firewall. Below that, you have the DNS. The DNS is the domain name servers, where it routes a website name to your IP address. And so they could take that away, sure. But like, as long as I have the IP address, like, I believe I can still get to a website. Like I said, unless they want to pull the fibers out of the ground. And so if you think they're going to go pull the fibers out of the ground, again, I think the probability of that happening is very slim to none. I would say, you know, if they did that, they're also shooting themselves in the foot, because now they can't communicate either. Whoever they are, I don't even know who they are. And so I think that the chance of it going out globally is again, almost zero. Like I said, it could go out in a region like it did in Hong Kong. But here's where we counter both the power and the internet. So let's say that hypothetically that they did, the power went out. Well, okay, I still have my solar, I still have my generator, I have a gerbil in the backyard running a wheel generating electricity or whatever. I still have electricity for myself. And then the internet and the phone went out like it did in Hong Kong, right? Well, this is the key piece with Bitcoin versus other cryptocurrencies. By the way, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in this decentralized revolution. But this is the key difference, is that Bitcoin has a very small database. It's about a 300 gigabyte database, and the block sizes are very small, and it was specifically kept that way so it can be censorship resistant. All the other cryptocurrencies have very big databases, and they need a lot of bandwidth. And so because the Bitcoin database is small, it's been done already. People have transacted Bitcoin over ham radios. What? Ham radios? Yeah, over ham radios. But even more than that, so what we saw in Hong Kong is when the phones and the internet were shut down, people there were still communicating. They were communicating something known as mesh networks. And so a mesh network is basically we all take our phones that no longer have internet or phone, and we create our own network off of it. Mesh networks are really popular in your house today. If you go to Costco and buy like a new Wi-Fi home router, they use like a mesh network. So you'd put like a repeater in every room of your house and you create like your own network. And so we can do that with phones, and we can create our own network, and all our phones can kind of repeat off of each other. And they did that in Hong Kong. And we could still call each other, and we can send Bitcoin back and forth via mesh network. We don't need the internet. We can generate our own power in our backyard and charge our phones, and we can use a mesh network. And so if the power goes out, if the internet goes out, I think that kind of, you know, backs it up. That's how it works. Again, the probability of the entire world going without power and never coming back, I think it's a fool's errand to even discuss. The chance of that happening is pretty much zero. And the same with the internet, right? Unless they're really willing to destroy themselves and dig out all the wires, which I just can't imagine happening. I don't see that happening. And if it does, we'll use mesh networks. And also we have satellites now. So Blockstream has put satellites into space that are running the whole Bitcoin network in space. And, you know, okay, so I guess they're going to shoot those down too. We have Elon Musk and Starlink. They've started popping up satellites into space for internet. So now anywhere in the world, I could get a satellite that's about the size of a small coffee table, and I could have broadband internet access anywhere in the world. And so even if they did dig out the wires in the ground, like, we got satellites in space. So I think it's just kind of a fool's errand, like I said, to discuss those things. And so hopefully that gives you a little bit of understanding of how that works. And so when you hear those types of arguments or rebuttals, it kind of helps you think through that. That's what I'm here for. Each and every week, I'm trying to bring to you these pieces to kind of help you see through this. Because what happens is, in order to have an asymmetric opportunity, that's an opportunity to make that has more upside than downside. And so I think Bitcoin has an easy 10x in front of us in the next 5 years. It's a massive, massive opportunity. But the only way that you can get that massive opportunity, that asymmetric opportunity, is if you have asymmetric information. You have to have information that most people just don't know. And that's what I'm trying to share with you each and every week. Now, a lot of people are kind of shooting themselves in their own foot, or they're listening to the wrong people. And so they have the information about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, but they fall for these headlines, the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And so I'm shooting it down for you one by one, helping you to understand what's going on. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, where I talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and the decentralized revolution each and every week. I'm trying to keep you informed, trying to make sure that you can take advantage of the largest wealth transfer that we'll ever see in multiple generations. And the time is now for you to grab it. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.